Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, clinical hypnotherapist Fiona Brennan is back for her Therapy from the Couch session. Every 6 weeks or so, she takes on a listener query. It's all confidential. And if you would like to have one answered, you can email aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Fiona, you're very welcome back.
Thank you, Claire.
How have you been?
I'm in great form, thank you.
Okay, good. Was it around the last time we were talking a lot about grief because you just lost your dad? So you're coming out of the darkness a little. It'll never go away, but are things feeling lighter a little?
They are, Claire, to be honest, yes. And interestingly enough, on the grief front, I think it is something that probably is a lifelong journey. But I do feel that the more I am in a positive, happy, content state, the closer I feel to my dad, which is very interesting.
Mm.
And so I suppose I focus on that as much as I can and feel his love and presence every day.
Yeah, sure. I was away in Spain a couple of weeks ago and I don't know what made me think of my dad. Something just hit me and it hits you with a wave that yeah. I'd love to speak to him and I'd love to tell him. And you can feel yourself welling up and just out of nowhere, you know, and then you just kind of smile and move on. It, you know, it's ever there.
It's ever there. Yeah.
Now, this is an interesting one. This is something you deal with in clinic all of the time and something that you have dealt with personally. So let's read it to the listeners, because I know myself, it's happening for a lot of people and I think your advice is going to help many. So the listener says, "Dear Claire and Fiona, I'm not sure what to do as I feel totally overwhelmed. I have just been through my second round of IVF. We got the news yesterday that it was not successful and I'm heartbroken and exhausted. I had such high hopes as all the early signs for this round were looking positive and it seems like such a massive disappointment. I don't know if I should keep going. My husband is supportive, but the pressure that this has put on us both emotionally and financially is hard to deal with. I'm 38 now, and while the clinic tell me I'm still young, I feel old. I want to get back to living my life and not for everything to be centred around clinics, scans, medication and injections. What do you think is the next best step?" Does that make you remember? I mean, you have a near adult son now, Luca, but I bet that still speaks very much to your heart because that's something you went through before you ended up becoming a mom to him.
Yes, absolutely. And like, you know, it's something so personal, but also so professional because I've helped many women go through this and men and fathers navigate this journey. And that understanding, it's like so many things, Claire, when you have that lived experience, you're in a very strong position to understand, you know, and have genuine insights into what it's like. And I think that, you know, certainly back now, Lucas, he's 17 and he's literally like, you know, I swear to God, the day I found out I was pregnant, it is definitely the happiest day of my life. I was one of the very, very blessed. And I never, never forget that, you know, just how fortunate I am. But in terms of having a second child, I went through that and the disappointments. So, you know, it's something that I totally do understand. But in terms of what it's like, unless you have someone very close to you that you love, like maybe a sister or best friend or someone that you really are very close to, or indeed, of course, yourself personally, you're not going to really know just how much of a roller coaster it is. And it is because it touches a person, in particular the mother, the woman, or the sort of the mother to be, or hopefully to be, in so many ways. It touches her emotionally, obviously, psychologically, physically. It's a huge thing in terms of the body and the hormones and all of that that's going through your system. And then, of course, there's also the financial component, which puts pressure on a couple. So essentially, it's a roller coaster that you can be thrown off at any point. It's not like a roller coaster with a destination. And one of the hardest parts of it is, and that's what I really work with my clients going through it, is sort of the lack of control that you have. So you can do everything right, if you like. You can tick all the boxes. You can, be so healthy and, you know, dedicated, etc. Timing your intimacy, doing everything that you can. And you can still not get that successful outcome that you really, really want. And I think it's worth saying, you know, to this listener, you know, that she's at a very pivotal point in terms of that disappointment and how, you know, it's really hard when you want something so viscerally. It's like a biological, you know, sort of strong urge if you have made the decision that you want a child. And of course, many women don't, and that's perfectly okay. But if you've already decided you want this, it's a big decision in of itself. And then to be so disappointed and that sense of absolute deflation when you get the news that it isn't successful. And even those words are really hard, successful, failure, you know, they're the language around it, I think we need to be really careful with as well, because essentially it is very hard not to imagine the positive outcome, especially as this listener said, you know, it looked like it was going well. And that's the thing with IVF and any fertility treatment, is that it can be seen to be going in one way, right? You know, you've got, you know, good eggs, you've got it seems like everything is on target, and then the tables turn quite quickly. And it's the ability to really navigate that journey in a way that you're very aware of the impact that it's having on you. So for this listener, like, I would say that, you know, it is a grief, you know, we're just speaking about grief, but it's a living grief in a sense, if you like. It's a grief that you need to process at the time, because even though this baby maybe never comes to fruition, it is that sense of loss, you know, and it is akin to a bereavement in many senses, because you have to come to terms with it. And that requires, unfortunately, and that's, you know, I suppose personally, it's like I can sit here and be genuinely lighthearted and happy because I've gone through the mud, or I'm, you know, I go through the mud. And that's the only way through. It's like a field, you know, with a beautiful horse on the other side, and you want to get to that beautiful horse, but you've got to walk through the bog and the mud, and you will, you know, you will come out the other side. But with IVF, it's so hard, because what we don't have, you know, the luxury of is this time, because it's like there's no respite from it in terms of, you know, the biological clock is putting pressure on you. So for this lovely listener who's got this news, you know, I would say that when you don't know what to do, whatever situation it is, the best thing is to do nothing, is to give yourself some time to heal and to really allow nature to do its job. You know, we sort of underestimate our ability to heal ourselves, and, you know, tears and feeling, healing is feeling. So going through that emotion is something that will really, really stand to her. It takes courage, it takes strength, but we've got to be so mindful of how important it is to go through it, because if not, it can lead into all sorts of more chronic long-term mental health concerns.
You're right, because there's so much pressure, isn't there? You know, the biological clock, yeah. You know, everyone's opinions, what you're going through, the financial, the impact on your relationship, all of that was in that letter and in everybody that goes through it. Something I don't think we talk about enough is, often we talk about, you know, IVF and fertility, but then people talk about it when they have the baby. And I understand that everybody shares what is okay for them, but we don't talk about the couples or the women who come out the other side and say, I'm not going to have a baby and I'm going to make peace with that. And it sounds like this listener is starting to consider that that may be her future. And I know that sounds really difficult, because it's like I'm saying your dream is not going to come true. But I think we do need to start having that conversation about the fulfilled life you can have after that, as you say, when you make peace with the grief of the life you thought you would have.
100%. And it's something that I did myself, is that I made that decision to be content with where I was, not to put myself through it. And that's something I think that only the individual can make. So it's something that the answer is, you know, and I say this all the time to my clients, the answer is within you. So you've got to listen to your own voice. And that can, you know, be hard, because it's a noisy world, and you might have a friend who, you know, is saying, oh, well, I'm going again, and my, you know, they went 6 times and it worked, and, you know, but you've got to know your own body. What are its limits, you know, in terms of physically? What are your limits emotionally? And what are your limits financially as well? You've got to look at the whole picture. And then I think it's really important that you work as a unit, as a couple, you know, because this has an impact on the men, of course, the fathers to be or not, as the case might be. But it's like, how can we grow through this together? Because that is, you know, fundamentally, it is the fulfilled life, you know, and there are plenty of couples who do make peace, who do go on. And, you know, life in of itself is such a precious commodity. And you know, it's that honoring your life and knowing what's right for you. And one of the key sort of mindsets that can help with that, and something I've practiced myself and shared obviously with clients, is that you let go of the attachment to the outcome, and you really focus on that you're doing your best within the, you know, the context and control that you have. And that gives you such a feeling of empowerment, such a feeling of, I know that I did my best within what I'm capable of. And, you know, whatever the outcome, you can walk away or walk towards, you know, your life in a sense of knowing that you have something very, very strong and powerful. And that is your own sense of love and care to yourself.
Can I ask you finally then, any advice on how couples navigate this? Because it's quite hard to be on the same page. With the best will in the world, you're the one taking the hormones, you're the one having the miscarriage, and yet they are also going through all of this. So it's very difficult, isn't it?
It's really, really difficult, to be honest, because, yeah, it can feel like if you're, as you say, you're the one taking all the injections and going on that physical journey as well, it can feel like your partner might not understand. So I suppose that it's like education for men around it, and the impact that this does have on a woman's body, I think is really important. And we need this to be looked at holistically. So, for example, when you go to the fertility clinic, you know, I would be looking at trying to get as much support. Is there particular therapists, counselors that can help me through this? What kind of self-care program do you have? You know, can we have a discussion where the husband or the partner comes into the room and, you know, is brought up to speed? You know, so much of anything we go through is understanding. And if we can educate and help our partners to understand what it's like, then that's going to make a huge difference. And I would say as well to anyone who's, you know, going through it, to their partner, is to sort of give a lot of leeway if there's irritability, if there's, you know, mood swings or anything, to just give space for that and understand that this is something that's going to be there, because it's only to be expected, really.
But mind them too. They may not look like they are breaking down in it, but they're experiencing it and want to be a parent just as much as you. It's tricky. We wish you all the best. However the outcome goes, mind yourself. You have your retreat in Crete coming up. I can't believe it's nearly the summer again and you're going to be living in Crete. My green eyes are going to be back.
Well, look, I feel like I'm in Crete at the moment. The weather is so gorgeous here, and it's really lifting everyone up. So I'm so happy about that. But yes, my 7-day retreat is happening the 23rd of June. This is an amazing opportunity, really, for any person to come on and really experience, I suppose, what it is that the whole content is around the art of living, you know, and how we can essentially live with peace, with joy, and how do we actually bring that into our lives and then bring that home. Because it's easy when you're on a retreat and everything is there for you and catered for you. But what I always do is look at practices and techniques that can actually, you know, really help someone when they return to their challenges, whether it's IVF or grief or whatever a person's going through, we do all have these challenges and need as much support as possible.
Yeah. So 7 days away to focus on how to live well and then ways to bring it in. People can find out more at your website, thepositivehabit.com, and also on Instagram at thepositivehabit. Fiona Brennan, as always, thank you very, very much. And to remind you again, if you have an issue that you would like therapist Fiona Brennan to look at, email us anonymously, aliveandkicking@newstalk.com.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.